Hey, welcome to episode 4 of the audio production show from Music Radio Creative. I'm your host, Kyron Mounted, and today we have an amazing guest. Her name is Faye Wu. She does the Faye's World podcast. Plus, she does some really cool things in her full-time job around marketing. Those aren't the only things that make her a really cool person to talk to. Did you know she was doing bilingual radio at the age of 16? Let's go talk to her right now, shall we? I've been really looking forward to today. On the line, I have an amazing woman. Her name is Faye Wu. She's from the Faye's World podcast. At her full-time job, she's known as a senior digital producer at Arnold Worldwide, and she's a part-time producer. She's had the pleasure of working with so many cool clients there's so many. Philips, Healthcare, Reebok, IBM, Hasbro, the list goes on and on. Each of these special projects have required a unique strategic approach, but the discipline of the project management methodology has always remained consistent. She's also received her BS in computer science and math from Northeastern University. This is a really cool part. She's worked and studied both in China and the United States. She speaks and writes English and Mandarin Chinese with native proficiency. And then little tidbit here, for a year she worked as a bilingual DJ at China National Radio. How cool is that? Outside of work, she's earned her third degree black belt, so I wouldn't mess with her. Plus, she enjoys calligraphy, painting, and yoga. Faye Wu from Faye's World Podcast, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for the phenomenal intro, Kyron.
Oh, well, I wonder where I found it. You are a very interesting person. I know when I got to look at you and didn't even get all the really cool tidbits like this, I was already excited to speak with you. What's something that makes you really interesting besides what I just said?
Well, that was pretty much it. No, yeah. I think what's really interesting about my life right now is I feel like I've found a real passion of mine, and not only a passion, that's a sustainable passion that I've been going at it, which is podcasting, interviewing mm-hmm. really interesting people on a weekly basis, releasing episodes, and it's phenomenal, very similar to what you do. So I'm so glad you. I'm definitely having and enjoying this conversation.
So let's just jump right into that. How did you get into podcasting and why?
So, what's interesting was, initially, when I discovered podcasting, I was a little annoyed because I talk so much as a project manager at work, and sometimes when I go home, I don't want to talk at all. I want to be mm-hmm. quiet and kind of just leave all the digital devices behind. But then, some of the podcasts I still listen to, are Tim Ferriss, James Altucher, Seth Godin, and of course, and some of the usual suspects, Yong Being, all of that. And there's a yoga podcast, Tara Brach, brilliant people. And I have these long train rides to work back from work. And it was phenomenal. I was able to learn so much, even computer science related knowledge, digital knowledge. And podcasts became the very natural way to engage not just me, but anyone to learn at a pace that's just like a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And it's very natural. And I said to myself, I want to give it a shot. And stop me if I'm talking for too long. But
No, this is interesting.
thank you. I had no background in audio technology, and so basically I went to Amazon. I purchased a travel mic for $35, and now so far I've invested a lot more into some of the devices I'm using. And I approached my coworkers, and the first episode, as you can see on my website, was released with Caleb Brown, and this gentleman who is just so special, and he makes you feel like whenever you have a conversation, he makes you feel like the most important person, and he has uncovered somehow who you are and all your sweet spots. And I decided that he would be the perfect guest for the first podcast. And of course, I have my own struggles recording. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this.
Everyone has to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. And I started learning so much Audacity and all of that. And I honestly became addicted to podcasting. And as you can see, only 2.5 months in, it's not super impressive compared to what you guys are doing, but I've had about 1,700 downloads after about 2.5 months. Yeah, it's impressive by my standard, and I've interviewed about, honestly, 30 to 40 people and infinite supplies of amazing, everyday, unsung heroes. And let me just clarify why I'm interested in interviewing these people, and some of them are obviously older and way more accomplished than I am, is because as much as I love all the podcasts I listen to, unfortunately, it comes down to these 20 to 25 people who are interviewing each other and sharing the same stories and over again. And most of them are so famous, so wealthy, and their speech are unfortunately very measured and limited to what they can talk about. And I decided that I could probably turn that around. And in closure, I know I've been talking for a little while, last night I was just thinking, I went to this amazing event at Cambridge Friends School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and was with this gentleman who was friends with Steve Jobs. His name is Jonathan Rodenberg, and this amazing gentleman who started the Boston Computer Society, all of that. And you know, when I was listening to his speech, and of course I proposed my podcast on him, and I thought to myself that every time I release an episode, and the phenomenon is it creates, it's a celebration of one's life, whether a 28-year-old or a 50-year-old, and you see a rush of people from their lives to really congratulate them, to celebrate their wisdom, their fear, their joy on Facebook. And it's not about me, but just to witness that, it's a gift.
That's awesome. Wow. First off, I'll say, checking out your podcast, you said you're doing it for 3 months now?
A little less than 3 months.
Well, I would have never guessed. I wouldn't have pegged you for that. Well done so far. And those are great numbers, by the way. Amazing. I know I heard, I forget what podcaster said it, you know. Do you release your podcast weekly?
Yes, okay. I do. And sometimes, like, if there are two parts, I might do like twice, you know, two episodes, but basically two parts of the same interviewee. So
perfect. So what I was going to say is that I've seen certain podcasters, they've said, you know, if you have as little as 30 people listening to your show, could you imagine getting 30 people into an auditorium every single week? That's amazing. Now, you said you had 1,700. Could you imagine getting an auditorium full of that many people each and every week? Just wow.
That's a great metaphor. Right? I never thought about that.
I forget who said it. I credit them, but that stuck with me. So podcasting for what? Just about 3 months. What's one of your favorite tools or resources that you use to do your show?
I'm currently using Audacity. So it's a freeware out there. And honestly, I look into GarageBand as well. But I basically...
So you're on a Mac, I assume?
Yes, I am.
Perfect.
And of course, you know, I have to say Music Radio Creative was such a surprising find for me.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, seriously, thank you. Because one of the... I got to say, in a way, that you guys really saved my podcast. Because, as you know, first step is really difficult. I mean, it's metaphorical, but it's really true in this case that everybody, including actors, and I found out Al Pacino doesn't even watch his own films, right?
Wow.
It's, you know, it's even for professionals, it's really hard to listen to your own voice, to watch yourself on TV. And one of the areas I struggled the most, it was my intro. I recorded my intro about 100 times, and I disliked every single one of them. I almost curled up in the ball and just like,
oh, no.
Ready to quit. And then I started looking for podcast intro. And of course, your company was the first thing I found on Google. And not only that, I was able to find all the list of voice actors, actresses, and I was able to listen to kind of get a sneak peek into what they do. And I found several lovely voices, and I nailed down to one gentleman, I forgot his name, and he literally generated the intro in less than 2 days. I loved it right away, and I've been using it ever since.
And it sounds really good. I know, I completely agree with you. You know, the hardest part about a podcast is where do you start? You know, I've personally, when in my podcasting career, I've almost found it's easier just to get started and then go back and do the beginning after.
Yes,
right?
It's so true.
Because that's the hardest part. I think writers do the same thing. They'll just start the story in the middle and then go back and write the beginning, right? Besides tools and resources that you use, what recording station mix? Is there any other equipment besides your Mac, your external mic, and your Audacity that you use?
Yeah, so I invested in a couple of mics so far, and the one I have in front of me, which is not the sound that you're hearing. This one's really nice, Audio Technica, and this is ATR 2100 USB version.
That's a great starter mic.
Oh, thank you. I got fantastic reviews. And then besides this one, I did get one that's from Blue, I believe.
Okay.
And yep. It's a Yeti one.
Yep.
YETI. I really like that one as well because it's like bi-directional, and then it's just like all these options. And I'm a huge fan of this podcaster. His name is Podcast Answer Man. And I watched and I listened to all his podcasts. I'm mostly watching the How-To 101 guides.
Yep.
And I was able to purchase, honestly, I don't have a mixer right now because honestly, I don't know how to use it, but I'm getting there.
No, Cliff, and Cliff would be the guy to teach you, that's for sure.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah, he really is. So question then, you bought an extra mic, you said. So do you do most of your podcast interviews live in person, not over Skype?
80% of them are probably in person because I just find it to be such a gentle approach. I can see their expression. I know where they're going. But there are 20% of the people I do interview, and they're from California. They're from New York. And that is through Skype. And I have, I actually forgot the name of the tool that I'm using, but there's one recording software that is that's not part of Skype, it's from a different company, but you can just turn it on and it works really well. I'm happy to send that to you.
Is that the Skype call recorder from Ecamm?
Yes.
So what inspired you? I know you've already said that you've listened to all these amazing podcasts and that, you know, during your trip on the train, that's what really got you going about podcasting. Is there anything that just finally pushed you over the edge and inspired you to do what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes I'm at work and I realize that, one, I want to improve myself much beyond, you know, what I learn at work. And for my age, I'm in my early 30s, and sometimes you hit the moments in terms of your soft hard skills that you plateau at times. And I approach these people, and generally very, very interesting people's lives and experiences. And as you know, we're living in an age where it's not about gifts like physical products anymore. It's about the purchase of an experience and really immerse yourself in it and learn as much as possible. So there are moments when I'm at a meeting, I talk to people, and I'm thought to myself, you know, people like Caleb, people like Bob Goodman, whose episode hasn't been released yet, Matt Lindley, who's a director of innovation at used to be at Arnold and now at Sapient Nitro. And I said to myself, wow, would it be great if I could record these conversations? And so why not? So that's sort of the recent reminder for myself. But prior to that, you know, this gets a little personal. My father, you know, unfortunately passed away about 5 years ago. And he was a calligrapher, very renowned calligrapher in China. He was a philosopher. We had guests, people would call him for advice, and he was brilliant. He was really funny. And, you know, he passed away as a result of cancer. And when I wanted to kind of record our conversation, he was already, you know, he was very, very ill at the time. So honestly, I did record certain bits, but it's can be upsetting and sometimes unclear to listen to. So I realized I want to do this before it's too late. And lastly, I'm happy to dive into that a little bit, is I forgot until my audience, my friends reminded me that I used to be a DJ at China National Radio Station when I was 16. And I can tell you how I actually got there.
Yeah, tell us about that. How did that happen?
So I was in China until I was about 16 before I moved to the U.S. on my own to go to boarding school. But I was 17, I guess. And my mom, my parents were both very westernized, and they were not the tiger mom, tiger parents. And so I was always told, encouraged to do whatever I loved to do. I was a skater. I was a hockey player, what I was doing.
Baby. Yeah.
And then, yes, we will dive into that as well. And my mom, you know, when I was 15, she was, she's a painter, and she was listening to the radio when she was working at home. And she heard this English competition in Beijing, and she thought my English back then was pretty good. I didn't go to an international school, and that's why my English was good. It's like because I was learning English with a bunch of other Chinese kids. She signed me up, and when I went to the competition, I had discovered that all the Chinese kids, quote-unquote Chinese kids, were actually American kids, and they're from L.A., they're from Boston. And
oh, wow.
It blew my mind. I felt so embarrassed, but I was already there, and my mom looked me in the eye and said, "You're going to win this." And I said, "Mom," I said, "Mom, everybody else is only child too. Stop building this up for me." And so, of course, I'm the only child. And
as am I.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So as for some reason, I got really into it. I went to the semifinals, finals, and I won the competition. So and it was
wow.
Yeah, it was really surprising to both of us. I guess not to her, but the funny thing was, the future is a way to predict itself. After the competition, I was approached by the managing director of China National Radio Station, and this gentleman who's very well known, and he put me on a show with a 25-year-old DJ who was also very popular at the time. And
dang.
Yeah, all the girls in my high school went crazy and asking for autographs. And this DJ, oh my goodness, was a live show, and he made me sing on the show because I ended up singing an English song at the end of my competition. I was, again, so embarrassed, but I did it, and the managing director approached me a week after and asked me if I want to have my own show every Monday at 9 o'clock in Beijing. And
oh, snap.
I know, it was crazy. I just turned 16. I was a very busy high school student, and I ended up running a show, writing and producing it on my own with help from a more senior producer for the post-production part, and was phenomenal. And I was able to make friends with so many of them from all over China. Surprisingly, I grew up in Beijing. The show was held in Beijing, but it was like a national show. So I received hundreds of letters every day, every week. And I actually got into a kind of scenario where I couldn't respond to them all. And I even received
just so many of them.
Yeah, it was amazing. And years and years later, I discovered my dad secretly responded to a lot of letters on my behalf. I was really touched by it. So,
what a nice dad. Wow. Yeah. So how long did you do that for?
It was exactly a year before I came to the States. Exactly 1 year.
So you did that for a year and then came to the United States?
I did.
Very cool. So why did you come to the States then? That sounds like it would have been a really cool gig.
I know. And then, honestly, that was one thing that I had to remind myself, and a great opportunity that I had to give up. But I was already in the 11th grade, and in China, for my generation, I guess still is, once you enter 12th grade for the entire year, you're doing everything to prepare for your college entrance exam. And it was clearly very competitive, and I grew up in a household where they're filled with artists, musicians, and
oh wow,
yeah, I did well in Chinese schools, but there was a clear path for me. For one reason, was hockey, was being an artist myself, and I want to really explore my potentials. And unfortunately, due to the heavy schoolwork, I was, honestly, I held myself back for many, many years. Even being a DJ at, grade 10 or 11 was something that people really debated about, is whether that was, people thought my parents were crazy. How could I leave school, while there's all these after school programs? And by the way, they meant studying more chemistry, physics, and all that. So I came out here and I played hockey at Freiburg.
Yeah. So. I don't know if you know that about me. I'm Canadian. So when you say hockey, you're talking my language.
Oh, yes. I found out that you're Canadian. And, this is how I got started, because of when I was in Beijing, it was my mom and I, were good, really like best friends at that time. I know it's like unheard of, right, for a 15-year-old. But she had to, she's a renowned artist, and she had to travel one winter. And she literally asked one of her friends to drive me to go ice skating, because it was a new thing when I was 15. It was, 98, 99. Skating was a really new thing in Beijing still. And And then so I remember it was like 45 minutes to the ice rink and was right between U.S. Embassy and Canadian Embassy. It was like the whole embassy district. And little did I know, with my figure skates for 2 days, I kid you not. And I remember leaving the arena and it was closing at, oh yeah, it was closing at like 9, 10 o'clock. So I was skating there all day and I saw all these gigantic Caucasian male, I remember, foreigners, you know, and they're like 200 pounds and they got these like super cool looking equipment and jerseys they're wearing from their cities, towns or whatever. And I thought I was going to be a professional hockey player. And this is after my dream of becoming a martial artist, which I still do, obviously, and becoming a professional skateboarder. And I was like, wow, I'm going to be a hockey player. But that didn't happen. I'm 5'4 and 120 pounds. So, and wow. I got started. I started playing with those guys, and they were too big for me. I ended up playing with people who were more junior.
So more your age?
Yes. People. Okay. And honestly, they were younger. And
okay, because it sounded like you were playing with like adult men.
I did a couple of times. They were way too good, especially the Canadians. I couldn't tell you. I mean,
yeah, well, so that's really cool. Let's swing back to podcasting a little bit, and maybe your career, just actually your whole life. Those are really cool success stories, and it sounds like you have always aspired to be something, which is amazing. You don't hear someone who has aspired to do so many different things and accomplished all of them. But I mean, with working towards something that's so big and everything, I know in my personal life, you got to take risks and sometimes you fail. And those are learning experiences. What would you say is your biggest failure or your biggest learning experience?
That's a really good question. I feel like, honestly, I was listening to something saying that a very successful entrepreneur, it's a she, and she said her dad encouraged her to fail every day. And I really like that concept because I feel like I do fail at something a little bit every day. And in terms of big failures, I don't think I ever looked at life that way. So that's a really good question.
I mean, there's such a negative connotation with the word failure, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think we need, like you said, your inspiration there, fail every day. It doesn't need to be a bad thing, right? What was something that you've done that you would have done differently or learned from then?
So I guess, you know, one of the things I feel like I'm starting podcasting at this age was something, I won't say regretful, but I wish very early, even earlier on in my career, honestly, I shouldn't have doubted myself as much and trusted my instinct and start doing something along this line. It doesn't have to be podcasting, but something along this line in my early 20s, if I could have, you know. And
so just started sooner.
Started sooner. And it's, it's failure. It's not maybe failure, but fear that we all had. One of my favorite questions was to all my guests is like, "What is your advice to your 20-year-old self?" And the youngest.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I really like that question. I honestly stole that from Tim Ferriss. And you know what's funny is like I don't believe, especially at the beginning, that very few people actually have listened to my podcast. But it's always been the answer is always relax. And you know what? I thought to myself, I should have relaxed and really trusted my instinct too. So it's really universal. And I think when we all fear and trying to get to the next level, I guess that's another thing I would have done differently now that I'm older. And I keep reminding younger people, especially female, is consider lateral movements are quite nice too. And don't just think about the next thing, the next title, the next pay grade, the whatever, the next person that you get to know. So yeah, that's something I've
that's really
changed.
Cool. So I'm gonna twist this. I have a set idea of what I want to ask people, and usually I ask, what's the best advice you want to give to someone starting their journey? But I want to ask a different question. What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Relax is certainly one of them, and definitely trust your instinct and know that the sky is really limitless because, you know, it's like that saying when the thing is like the way I grew up when I was in elementary school, I still remember, but very quickly after that, I stopped raising my hands. I became, quieter, just so that I could fit in to the culture and be less spontaneous and a lot more nervous. And I guess I had the right reason. You know, obviously, English isn't my first language, and I know most people don't hear my accent loud and clear, but once in a while, you hear certain things. And also, when I was 20 years old and living in this country, and at that time, I was thinking about finding a job and all that. But really, it just absorbed the experience you have then and there. And just don't worry so much, because your fear and your worrying will really limit yourself from accomplishing the next big thing. You know, that's advice for myself. And love my, be gentle to myself and love and care for myself a little bit more.
That's awesome. Faye, thank you. It's been an amazing opportunity to chat with you. I wish we had more time to talk more. Before we wrap up, is there anything that you want someone to know about you that we didn't get to talk about today?
I think you covered great questions. I would encourage people to check out my podcast. I want to see comments and the type of topics, questions they want to hear. And yeah, I would love to be able to engage more. And I want people to know that people like yourself, Music Radio Creative, provide opportunities to learn about other people. I really, really love this initiative. And I really highly encourage that you keep going and let me know how else I could help and be a collaborator on this.
Will do. Thank you. But first, where can someone find your podcast?
So that would be faceworld.com, and it's spelled FEISWORLD.com.
So Faye S World.
Yeah, that's correct.
.com. If someone wants to find you on Twitter or social media, where can they find you?
Same thing as well. My handle is faceworld. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn with my professional profile. And yeah, everything's there.
So basically, you keep it concise, Faye's World everywhere?
Yes, that's correct.
So look her up. You could tell she does marketing and advertising, eh? So Faye, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much again for coming on the show. And before I wrap up real quick here, I need to mention mrc.fm/promo. If you're looking for creative audio for your next project, like Faye was for the beginning of her podcast, there's no better place to look. Music Radio Creative has it for you. You can select your voice, you can put in your script, and then get it produced just the way you want it. mrc.fm/promo right now will get you 15% off that order.
Awesome.
No, seriously, what are you waiting for? Go there right now. Faye, thank you so much for coming on the show this week.
Thank you.
Looks like we got another iTunes review. 5 stars. Thank you so much. Aw, Canon. They say, can't wait. This podcast will be a great resource for all who, like me, have just begun their entrance into the world of audio. Subscribe now. Thanks so much, Aw, Canon. And if you want to leave a review, Mike's made it super easy. Head over to mrc.fm/iTunes if you want to leave a review on iTunes, or Stitcher, mrc.fm/Stitcher. Next week, we're going to be talking to a guy named Nicholas DeMio. He's a really cool tech guy. He's kind of on the Windows side, but we won't hold that against him because he kind of knows his stuff. That'll be next week on the Audio Production Show from Music Radio Creative.
Listen. Discover. Share your ambitions.
Express your feelings.
Capture what matters.
Open the world of audio.
The world of audio.
Where everything is made to amaze.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.
Music Radio Creative.